This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca, Lisa Daniel and Steve Stephanopoulos. We have Fiona Patton, member of the Legislative Council for the Reason Party on the phone. Good morning, Fiona. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Hello to you all.
Morning, Fiona. Lisa here.
Morning.
Morning, Fiona. Steve here.
Now, you had a debate at the press club this week with the Australian Christian Lobby.
Yes.
I've actually tried to get them on the show many times, but some reason they don't want to talk to me.
Fiona, I'd like to know how you wrangled that and made that happen. It's quite a coup, really.
It was quite a coup.
Was there money in bags under tables?
Yeah. It was very difficult to get the Christian Lobby to agree, but we managed to, managed to sort of almost shame them into it. And I was an ambassador. I'm an ambassador for the National Secular Lobby. So,
did you have to
different franchise?
Did you have to provide them with a very clear road that you were going to travel in the debate?
No, I mean the press club has debate rules, so they have a set of rules that they use. Which Martin hadn't read, but so that was a shame, although it was good for me. And then, but no, we were very open, and I think they're very comfortable with this piece of legislation. I mean, they've been, as they said, they have been with it every step of the way. They have been in the Attorney General's office, talking to the drafters throughout the whole process. So they're quite satisfied with the legislation, although they would like it to go a bit further.
For listeners who aren't really on top of what's happening with the legislation, do you want to give it a quick summary?
It's awful. That's it. It's really... what it does is it treats some people as more equal than others. It's called the Religious Discrimination Bill, and ostensibly it is to create protections for people who have religious beliefs from being discriminated against. But what it also does, and more importantly, it creates protections for people with religious belief to discriminate against anyone. So it enables them to be vile, and it enables medical practitioners, in that we can include podiatrists, physios, nurses, dentists, any of them, to refuse to provide, to treat anyone on the grounds of some religious belief.
Do you think that having a Conservative government in power at the moment has allowed this to have more of a voice than it would normally have?
I think so, but there's no doubt that this is the SOP for the Marriage Equality Act. And the Christian Lobby said as much as well, because a number of the Libs voted for the Marriage Equality Act, this was the payback for that, that they would introduce this legislation that, that would protect Israel Folau, and it would protect Archbishop Porteous, who was, who was taken to task under the Tasmanian anti-discrimination laws for some fairly revolting things he said in the marriage equality debate. However, what happened there was it was mediated and the complaint was withdrawn, so he didn't need the protection. But this legislation overrides every state and federal anti-discrimination law in the land.
Now, that's interesting because Christian Porter, on more than one occasion, said that it was not his intent or the government's intent to override state law.
He should read Section 41 again because it says, and this legislation overrides, not only overrides all of these legislations, but any other legislation that may impact on this this legislation.
So we've seen, Fiona, the Australian Christian Lobby, they think the bill's great. Probably could be improved a little bit more. Perhaps, queer people could be put in stocks in the town square. Perhaps they might like to do that. But
that's right. If they could act on some of their vile beliefs, I think they would be much happier. But it does mean that, for example, a religious dentist could refuse to treat a trans person or could refuse to treat a pregnant woman. A pharmacist could refuse to provide the morning after pill.
Oh, sounds like an episode from, Downton Abbey.
Oh, Handmaidens, absolutely.
Fiona, can I ask a question? If you are a religious person and you are treating someone of another faith and they don't believe in that faith, can they refuse that as well?
Yes, they can.
That's outrageous.
Because that just brings in a hierarchy of religious convictions, doesn't it?
So why haven't they included that if you're different skin colour?
Yes, they can. Yeah, no, that's included.
Oh, they can do that.
They can refuse you. If you can reasonably argue that it is in line with your religious beliefs.
So, in other words, if my God is better than your God, my belief is superior to your belief,
right.
So I should be able to discriminate. Wow, it's absolutely extraordinary, really.
It's so extraordinary. It is, it is just beyond comprehension. And the industry organisations and business groups are also hugely concerned because this actually allows you to be a bigot and to say vile things, albeit not necessarily in the workplace, but outside the workplace about your work.
Did anything come up in the debate that surprised you in terms of their views? Anything you didn't know about what they were already thinking?
It surprised me that because all of these freedoms are only granted to people with religious beliefs. If you don't have religious beliefs, you can say vile things, but only about religion. And it surprised me that they thought that was okay. They thought that people with religious beliefs should have greater freedom to offend, insult, humiliate, intimidate than those without them. I thought they would have said, oh, no, that's probably not fair. It probably should be equal for everyone.
So those people who advocate complete unrestricted free speech, what do they, do they support this? There's a number of MPs in the federal parliament.
I think some of the libertarians would support this. I assume that kind of libertarian mind would support this. I think that if we want to live in a civil society, then we do need to introduce some protections to prevent people from, entering into an apartheid type of situation where, certain people will be served and certain others won't.
That's the way it should be. Surely.
It reminds me of reading Animal Farm back in year 9 at school.
That was exactly the quote I was using on this, as I did quote Napoleon the Pig in my contribution to this. But they think that this is absolutely okay. This also, this will come butt up against our Fair Work Act and any anti-bullying legislation that we have, because that will infringe on someone's right to state their religious beliefs.
What was the response
if they
post
want to say something about Sikhs and Muslims?
Sorry, Fiona. What was the response post debate? Did you have anyone approach you and say, actually, you made a lot of sense, and I'm changing my views at all?
No, I had one lady come and pray for me.
Oh,
God bless.
I know.
What was your response?
No, I, oh, I, I was very polite, you know, as I would be. I'm tolerant of these people. And sadly, it's not reciprocated. I thanked her and walked away. But yes, I think, you know, certainly the press gallery was pretty appalled.
Yeah.
And the examples that Martin gave as reasons for this legislation were hopeless. Also, so thinking about Israel Folau for a moment, under this legislation, any of us would be able to say something vile outside our workplace, but still wearing our work T-shirt, for example, and be connected back to our workplace, unless you work for a religious organisation. Then they can fire you for anything they don't like you saying outside the workplace. But if you don't work for a religious organisation, then you're free to say whatever you like.
It's a very confusing time, it strikes me, for young people who have seen equal marriage come in. They've seen, you know, they're talking about climate change and they're talking about sort of interesting social justice things. But at this, on the other side, they're being confronted with this sort of pushback against progressive views or even conservative views, really. I see this as ultra-conservative.
Oh, this is. And I mean, and organisations like the Uniting Church, they have come out wholeheartedly against this. Yeah. And they say that the harm bar is way too high. The New South Wales Anglicans and the Catholic Church have said it doesn't go far enough. We want to be able to have the same rights to discriminate in all of our commercial businesses, in our aged care businesses. And when you consider 40% of aged care in Australia is provided by religious organisations, that's frightening.
Should we be funding them then?
Well, that is exactly what I made the point exactly of that, that if you were a funding body and these people were given such incredible freedoms to discriminate against clients as well as staff, then I would think very carefully about providing funding for them.
Yeah. Now, we're going to have to go, Fiona, but I've got a final question for you, not related to this. I know you've been interested in some state government legislation, particularly around the Ellis defence, and that settlements between 1st of July 2015 and 1st of July 2018, those people who had settlements there regarding historical child sexual abuse can't go to a judge to have those deeds set aside. So there's a three-year period where there is a gap. I know you've been having discussions with Jill Hennessy and with other members of the government. What stage is that at? Are they going to actually amend that, or are they just going to leave these people without the ability to seek justice?
Look, at this stage, they refused to amend the legislation to stop very unfortunate, very unfair carve-out. When I asked the minister about this in Parliament a few weeks ago, they did say that they would revisit those cases, and that anyone who did have a case that was in that really that 3-year period, that they would look at exceptions and that exceptions to the legislation for those cases. So they are alive to the problem, but they were not willing to change the legislation.
To
fix it.
Stick to it, Fiona. Because it's important. We'll get you in again in the next couple of weeks, because I'd like you to have a chat on air with a lawyer who's a specialist in this area, because we do actually need to put some pressure on the government. I know that you know, they couldn't get the emergency services legislation right.
That's right.
You know, they've done some great stuff with this legislation. They just need to fix this. It's just a really easy amendment. But anyway, let's get you in to talk about that. Thanks again for your time. Thanks for your work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fiona.
Thanks.
And, we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.